Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As promised, let's give away some Caps tickets to opening night. Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to the Caps and the Bruins to kick off the 2025 campaign. Wednesday, October 8th, a week from tomorrow. All fans in attendance are getting a schedule magnet. You'll be one of those fans. Tickets and the complete Caps schedule are available at thefandc.com, courtesy of the Washington Capitals. Congratulations to the winner. Right now on Grant and Danny. Show's brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Nice update by Toki there at the top of the hour. Over the weekend, while you were sleeping, Sandra Bullock style, Toby Altizer had a birthday.
Huh? Hey, Tobes!
Clap it up for Toby.
The youngest in charge.
The actual youngest in charge. Had a birthday. Congratulations on you. Getting older. Growing on up. And on another quality update. All right, it is time for your Beltway Blitz. The Wizards, Major League Baseball playoffs, and the Commanders all jam-packed into one segment. Let's get after it. We will start on the hardwood with Varun Shankar of the Washington Post. The Wizards had media day yesterday, kicked off camp officially, I believe, today. So, Varun, give us a little table setter here. What's the state of the Wiz as they get things going?
Yeah, this is going to be another rebuilding year for the Wizards, another year where they're more focused on player development and the long-term future of the franchise than immediate wins. But one thing that I do think will look different this year is last year, the Wizards, you could say, gave some of their young players roles that they might not have been fully equipped for because they wanted those players to get experience. This year, they have more young players to choose from, and that's going to inherently cause a little bit more competition, a little bit more. The word that we kept on hearing from Will Dawkins and Brian Keith over the last few days has been separation. Who's going to separate themselves this year? And that comes with, you know, competition from the very first days of camp.
I like Alex Saar. I'm intrigued by that skill set. A 7-footer that moves around like he does, it's worth developing. It's worth taking your time the whole nine yards, Varun. But, you know, shot percentage wasn't great as a rookie. I have no problem with that. You know, give the kid free rein. But what do we expect different here in his second year?
Yeah, with Alex, the biggest things that stand out to me are the things that he does best are atypical for big men in a lot of ways. He is a very good weak side rim protector coming over from blocks. And he is a really good switch defender. He has the versatility to step out and guard smaller players. That makes him a very valuable defensive player, but there is a lot of stuff that he struggles with in a more traditional big man sense. And some of that's just because he's young and probably a little bit skinny for the position right now. You think that he'll fill out in time. I think the Wizards expect him to fill out in time. But you see that struggle come up with the defensive rebounding in particular. You see it come up when he's trying to get to the basket. You see it come up when he's trying to screen and roll. And I'd like to see, he's added some muscle. He looks a little bit bigger. You'd like to see that get a little bit better this year. I don't think that he's going to be, you know, the dominant interior presence, but you want to see him get closer to what he could be there.
Speaking of being bigger, I saw somebody post the difference in size and weight added by a lot of the really young Wizards. Seems like they were in the weight room this offseason, huh?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is part of the player development apparatus, is simply developing their bodies. I mean, these are in many cases teenagers or early 20s, so there's a lot of room to grow, and you're starting to see some of the natural physical growth that will happen, but also some of the intentional growth that they've done through some of the weightlifting and weightlifting group work that they've done.
I love Trey Johnson as well. What can we expect from him in year number one?
I think you're going to see the shot translate immediately. I think you're going to see a little bit of playmaking. He seems like he's already a little bit ahead of schedule with regards to that. I'm curious to see how much of a challenge the defensive end is for him. And I'm also curious to see how much he gets to play with the ball in his hands. And, you know, he was a very much an on-ball player with Texas. Some of that was because of where Texas was. The Wizards have a little bit more of an egalitarian system. How does he adjust to that? How does he look in such a system? But I think he's someone who's going to translate pretty early.
As far as the expectations for this season, you say it's still a rebuild. We know what that means. We know what it's going to look like. The evaluation of the players, the progression of those players is still the thing that matters the most. But what should be a reasonable ask in terms of performance for them this year?
That is a good question. It's tough to answer just because it's unclear how much the Wizards will lean into some of the more aggressive tanking measures that they took last year. I mean, there were points last year, especially late in season, they were jockeying with Utah for lottery positioning, that they were not playing a lot of guys, and they were playing these young players a lot, and they were okay, and in fact, in some cases, invited the losses that came along with them. How much do they turn to that this year? I'm not sure, especially early in the season. I'm curious to see how things look with some of the vets like CJ McCollum and Chris Middleton playing. Are they able to give this team a little bit more of a floor? Maybe you don't see it for all 82 games, but are there pockets of the season where you're seeing the team play better competitive basketball, especially on the defensive end?
Vroom, thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
Thank you so much.
We will see you, dude. Hit that MLB sounder, Darius. Bring on Kyle Glazer, host analyst on Foul Territory Network, to talk about the postseason playoffs. Cleveland's got to be kicking themselves with a golden opportunity to tie it there in the ninth, huh, Kyle?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is Tarik Skubal just completely shut them down for 7 2/3 innings. And right, I think this is more about just how impressive Tarik Skubal was. 14 strikeouts, 26 swings and misses. This is what number one starters do. When your team is slumping, when there's a lot of concern about the way they're rolling, they are the stopper. They go out, they dominate, they get you the big win. This was really just a brilliant performance by Tarik Skubal all the way around.
I want him to pitch every game, old Haas Radborn style. Let's throw him back out there in game two. What do you say, Kyle?
I don't think that would be the best thing for his long-term health.
Yes,
but
at the
same time, there's no question. Every time he is on the mound, it is must-watch baseball, and he showed why today.
Oh, that was electric. It was so fun. We've got it on here in studio. So the one game where the teams are back in the clubhouses with the final, you've got the Tigers, who limped into the postseason, 2-1 winners over the Guardians thanks to Skubal. The Padres are playing the Cubs at Wrigley today. San Diego has an early 1-0 lead as they get into the middle innings. What's your feel on that series?
It's going to be tight. I do think this one's going to go 3, and it's really going to come down to the starting pitching. Both Matthew Boyd and Shota Imanaga were not great down the stretch for the Cubs. Boyd obviously on the mound today. Imanaga will get the ball in game two. From the Padres' perspective, Dylan Cease, who will start game two, had a 5.58 ERA on the road. And Yu Darvish, who will get the ball in game three if it gets that far, had an ERA over 7 on the road. So it's really going to be about which big-name starting pitchers step up and which continue their struggles. I think that's what will determine this series.
It feels like the Dodgers are inevitable. They were just playing with their food for a while at times. But when you actually look at it, Mookie Betts, a very down season. Their bullpen just seems to be constantly in flux. I don't know if there is a National League favorite outside of Philadelphia. Give me your thoughts there.
I do think the Phillies are the best team when you look at what they can do in the rotation, what they have in the bullpen, that lineup top to bottom. At the same time, you're right. The Dodgers were waiting for a lot of their starting pitchers to get healthy. They finally did. And it was a dominant starting rotation down the stretch. Now, because they have so many good starters, they're able to move some guys into the bullpen like Emmett Sheehan. And oh, by the way, Roky Sasaki is back and looks electric in 1-2-inning stints. So I'll be curious to see how these starters transition to the bullpen come postseason time. But look, the Dodgers starting pitching is on point. Their offense, after, you're right, a slow start, Mookie Betts finished the season hot to go with great seasons from Ohtani and Freeman and even guys like Andy Páez. The Dodgers are dangerous, and I do think whoever wins the potential NLDS between them and the Phillies will be the National League champion.
Kyle Glazer, host analyst, Foul Territory Network, joining us here on Grant and Danny in D.C., looking at the playoff bracket in Major League Baseball. They get started with wild card action today. By the way, the Dodgers have the Reds. You'd think they can make quick work of Cincinnati. And then if they do, they would have a meeting with the Phillies in the next round. As you look at the bracket from kind of a 10,000-foot view, who do you really like here? Who are you betting on making runs out of both leagues?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I would bet on the Phillies to be the team that represents the National League in the World Series. The American League is wide open. I think you have to look at the Mariners, just how good their starting rotation is now that George Kirby and Logan Gilbert are back doing what they're capable of. They have a deep lineup 1-9. And look, anytime an opponent goes into T-Mobile Park, they are going to be in for a long, long 9 innings. That place gets wild. The Pacific Northwest fans are crazy. I do think you have to look at the Yankees as one of the wild card teams, though. The Yankees went 25-8 to finish the season. They really started to resemble the team that they could be with all their star power offensively. You have two great starters in Fried and Rodon. As long as they play clean baseball, they can take down anyone. That's the big question mark with them. When they do, they go on runs like they did to end the season.
So it's interesting. So it sounds like you think they kind of figured it out and got right. I looked at them as just taking advantage of the schedule. It was a lot of Twins, Orioles, White Sox in the last couple of weeks. And maybe the answer is both can be true, but you thought maybe they actually figured something out, not just beat up on really bad teams.
Again, it's a little bit of both, right? Sometimes when you see those bad teams, that's your kind of get-right series. And look, we see a lot of teams come playoff time or down the stretch that have easy schedules and don't take care of business. All you have to do is look at the Mets. Even the Padres had a big, big slump late August, early September that really cost them the ability to win the division. They were still able to get it as a wild card. But at the end of the day, you can only beat the teams you're facing, and you want to get right against those kinds of teams, and that's what the Yankees did.
Isn't it kind of nuts we barely even mentioned, if at all, the team with the best record in baseball? Milwaukee Brewers, just kind of waiting in the wings, you know, ho-hum, home field advantage throughout, yeah.
Yeah, and look, the Brewers are a good team, right? I think the, oh, who are these guys, super anonymous team is a bit overplayed. Look, Christian Yelich is an MVP. William Contreras has been one of the best catchers in baseball for years, with a top five MVP finisher last year. Bryce Turang and Sal Frelick were high first-round picks. Jackson Churio was a stud prospect. This team is not as anonymous as everyone seems to make it out to be. That said, they are a lot of young players who will be playing in their first postseason series, and they're going to have to prove it against a very, very difficult NL field. Again, you look at the Phillies, look at the Dodgers, look at the Cubs, look at the Padres. All these teams won 90-plus games and have a lot of postseason experience. I do think the Brewers have a very difficult road, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to take down all of these really, really good teams consecutively, given some of the lack of that postseason experience from their young guys.
Thank you, Kyle. Much appreciated the insight.
Anytime, guys. Have to join you.
Appreciate
you. Be good.
You.
There's Kyle Glazer with us talking ball on the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. All right, let's talk Commanders. Kevin Sheehan show over on the Team 980 helps us to do just that. Kevin, 2-2 through four. Jaden Daniels coming back, heading out to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. What do we think?
I think that it's a good thing he's coming back now. I like their chances this Sunday, actually, for a number of reasons. But, you know, big picture, and you and I talked about it on my show this morning, I just think that this was always going to be, again, a Jaden-led offensive football team, and that possibility still exists with him in the lineup healthy, and I'm excited to see it on Sunday. Of course, the big mystery, which has not truly revealed itself yet, although I think some would disagree, is whether or not the defense is even slightly improved from last year, and it needs to be if they're going to make, you know, a big run down the road.
Yeah, statistically almost identical when it comes to what it was like year over year through a handful of games here, Kevin. What are you seeing from that defense? I mean, I'm picking on Marshawn Lattimore a lot, both because he makes a ton of money, but also because he looks washed to me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, Joe Witt Jr., Bobby Wagner in coverage, you know, Mikey Sandra still on the inside instead of the outside. We've all had, you know, sort of the same reactions to watching it, bad tackling, miscommunications in coverage. I do think that they appear to be at least slightly better as a run-stopping team where they were horrible last year. So the Kinlaw addition certainly looks to have been a good one. They've got a scheme up pass pressure, but they got it in the first three games. They didn't get it on Sunday. I don't know what's coming, but I bet if we see another outing like the one in Atlanta, we might see personnel changes like we did at the two guard positions on offense before the Raiders game. You know, I wonder whether or not there's a big move like Dan Quinn taking back play calling or something to that effect that could be in play if you get another one, two, or three performances like the one you got in Atlanta. Because we did hear, you know, Sandra still with sort of a veiled criticism. Lattimore had a veiled criticism after the Green Bay game, you know, sort of pointing towards play calling and scheme. Yeah, I mean, everything's going to be in play defensively, or at least it should be if we see what we saw Sunday again.
Kevin, I want to know about, like, the quality of the defense overall, big picture for you. Can they get to a point where they're good enough to, you know, not be a detriment? Like, is the defense at a level to get where this team wants to go, which is the playoffs and win playoff games again this year?
I mean, it was a detriment last year, and they got to the NFC Championship game. And I'm not saying that we're going to see the same kind of season against what appears to be a tougher schedule. And, by the way, with all of the injuries. And let's face it, you know, guys that we thought would step up and play even better this year haven't so far. You know, Sandra Still, Luvu, Quan Martin as examples. They can win 10 games without the defense being significantly better, but they can't make a deep run more likely than not like they did last year without improvement. And I'm hopeful, Grant, that they continue to be, you know, a decent run-stopping team, because that was frustrating last year, the inability to get off the field, the inability to stop, you know, good backs or even average backs from big chunk yards. That would certainly go a long way. I think the biggest problem they have is they don't have a special pass rusher. If you've got a special pass rusher that the other team needs to game plan for, maybe you can mask the deficiencies you have on the back end. That would be my biggest concern, is maybe they're a little bit better stopping the run, but the quarterbacks they have on their schedule, some of the offenses they face, they're not, you know, good enough up front to cover up for what they've got going on in the secondary.
Kevin, we are the presidents and president pro tempores of the Jaden Daniels fan club. So long term, I have no concerns other than, you know, hopefully him being able to stay healthy for the long term. But I don't expect him to hit the ground running this week, because he wasn't great before the injury. Whatever you want to blame, the answer is probably yes. Lack of practice time in the preseason, you know, only two practices with McLaurin, whatever. He wasn't himself yet. Now he's been injured, kind of starting the clock over again on the road, good defense. I don't expect that MVP caliber Jaden Daniels just yet. What are you expecting?
I mean, I'm expecting it sooner rather than later. I mean, after 2 weeks on the shelf, maybe there's a little bit of rust on Sunday. And to your point, you know, he's going to play his third game this year against a really good defensive team. I know Green Bay gave up, you know, 40 on Sunday night, but the night they played him, that was a dominant defense. The Giants have really good personnel defensively, and so do the Chargers. But I don't think we're going to have to wait that long to see it. Now, the surrounding cast will be important. If they go into that game with no Terry, no Noah Brown, no John Bates, yeah, I mean, it's possible that it won't look like it looked last year, but I wouldn't put anything past him.
Kevin, thanks, buddy. Good catching up.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, buddy.
You got it. There's Kevin Sheehan. We're Grant and Danny. That there is your Beltway Blitz. I want to get into what I asked him with you next, Danny, which is, do we think this defense can play at a level requisite of them getting where they want to go, being a playoff team, winning playoff games? And we'll pose that question to you guys on the phones. We have not taken calls yet today. We'll open up the phones for the first time at 800-636-1067. Do you think ultimately this defense is bad enough that it holds them back? Or, like they did last year with Daniels and an elite offense, can they overcome and still win double-digit games and get to the postseason? This is The Fan.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They can win 10 games without the defense being significantly better, but they can't make a deep run more likely than not like they did last year without improvement. I think the biggest problem they have is they don't have a special pass rusher. If you've got a special pass rusher that the other team needs to game plan for, maybe you can mask the deficiencies you have on the back end. That would be my biggest concern. Is maybe they're a little bit better stopping the run, but the quarterbacks they have on their schedule, some of the offenses they face, they're not, you know, good enough up front to cover up for what they've got going on in the secondary.
That was part of our Beltway Blitz just a few minutes ago here on The Fan. Kevin Sheehan joining us. Grant and Danny with you on your flagship home for the Nats, who will introduce new president baseball operations Paul Toboni tomorrow. 9 a.m. at Nats Park. You can hear the press conference right here on The Fan. The Junkies will be over there. I believe he'll be sitting down with the Junkie shortly after he meets the media, so that'll be cool. Also, the flagship home of the Capitals. They open the season a week from tomorrow at Capital One Arena. We're giving away tickets all week long at 4 o'clock. If you missed your chance yesterday or today, you got three more opportunities Wednesday through Friday right at 4 ahead of the Blitz right here on Grant and Danny. So let's get into this defense for Washington, which has been a problem. And on a, I would say, staircase regression here, like a slippery slope, it's getting worse to this point of the year. They rank 23rd overall yards per play, but they are 30th against the pass. They're giving up 8.08 per play. The only passing defenses that have been worse are the Miami Dolphins and the Dallas Cowboys, who are the butt of jokes, basically, defensively right now all over the country. The question, Danny, is can they get right enough to be okay? They don't have to be great. They don't have to be good. I don't even think they have to be above average in the top 15. But can they get into that, I don't know, the ceiling of like 17th, the floor of maybe 2021 with more reasonable numbers than they currently have in their yards per play metrics, to the point where they can overcome offensively and with Jaden Daniels if he flips the switch to be MVP caliber again, like they did last year, because they were terrible defensively and it worked out. What I would point out, though, is they did it with a soft schedule. They did it with a lot of luck. They did it with, we looked up this piece in the offseason, but the best luck in terms of dropped passes against from other teams.
And as soon as people hear that, they recoil and get defensive and angry and whatever. It has nothing to do with anything that's subjective. Information happened.
But
right?
I don't even need to waste my time explaining away the point. Like, if you can't deal with that as a grown-up, you're holding your breath, that's your own thing to sort out on your own time. I'm moving on. Like, they got lucky last year statistically, both anecdotally and factually. That happened, okay? That was a thing that took place. But also, they didn't beat winning teams until the playoffs. Now, I don't care as much about that anymore after you go to Tampa and win, and you go to Detroit and win.
Those counted.
You beat some juggernauts. But in the regular season, the only team that was playoff caliber that you beat was the Eagles when their quarterback got hurt. But we don't have to re-legislate last year. The point is, they got where they did, 12 wins, NFC Championship game, despite having a suspect and at times bad defense. And the question is, this year, with a harder schedule, maybe without the same luck, can you overcome that defense?
No. What happened last year was they put a bottle down in the middle of the field and lightning struck it. What we're actually saying is, we'll just put the bottle down and assume it's going to happen again. Right? That's not how things are sustainably done.
What if Jaden Daniels is the lightning then?
Then you still don't get a Hail Mary. Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt. Devontae Smith doesn't drop an easy pass. All that had to happen was one of those breaks don't go their way, and they don't even make the postseason last year. We're talking about a great rookie debut with a 10-7, a 9-8 kind of team that is still a markedly better group than they were just a year before, and the transformation that happened. Just so happened, we got this unbelievable magic carpet ride, this charmed life, this thing happened. I was there. I had fun, too. You needed to improve. If you're sitting there going, well, we can be as, you know, kind of like we were last year. No, you can't. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. That is an axiom I subscribe to, especially in this league, when you are not rewarded for okay behavior. Your schedule gets harder. And that happened by virtue of the fact that you're not always going to play backup Billies. You're not always going to play rebuilding teams in their place and the whole nine yards like you got away with one in New Orleans. You are playing better quarterbacks, better opponents, and this defense is so vulnerable to the pass, and there's no fix in sight. To me, it's a broken thing, and you can account for it. You can try to cover for it here and there, but when push comes to shove, they're going to get thrown on. I think Daniels is that special. It's going to happen at some point this year again, as soon as he gets the sea legs underneath him, as soon as he's healthy. But even with him special last year, they were probably a 9-win team that won 12.
Coming up on their schedule defensively, this weekend, Herbert, who went into the week before the loss, the MVP favorite with Josh Allen playing his butt off. But with the injuries on that O-line, he's now the most pressured quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that changing.
And they're talking about how alarmed they are at all the hits he's taking.
Totally. Yeah. I think it's going to crash back down to earth if it hasn't already done that with that Giants game. The Bears. Now, Caleb Williams is going to keep you in the game with some misses and some decisions to hold on to the ball and take a sack or maybe throw the ball to the other team. But Ben Johnson in that offense and Caleb Williams, that's a tough scheme to prepare for. Now, they're going to find some things and find some air in your defense, probably. The Cowboys. Look at what they just did to the Packers. I'll raise my hand right now and tell you I was wrong about Brian Schottenheimer's offense so far. I think he's done an exceptional job, don't you? Without a running game.
Hard to argue against it.
And CeeDee Lamb being
hurt. And they run it better than I thought with Javonte Williams.
They do. They've schemed it up okay. But I'm saying it's not like they have a great running game back or running game. And now they don't have CeeDee Lamb, and none of it's mattered. They just keep having Dak Prescott throw to other guys, and it works, and they scored 40 on the Packers. Then you've got Mahomes. Darnold in Seattle, it's basically Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, and not much else in their passing game, so that's not quite on that level. The Detroit Lions, that's a problem. The Dolphins without Tyreek Hill now, that game in Madrid, I think, got a little easier defensively. The Broncos, Sean Payton, good scheme. Bo Nix will be playing better by then. The Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, one of the best offensive designers in the league. The Giants, no Malik Nabers, that got a lot easier. So they've gotten some breaks here. I hate to say it that way with the torn ACL for Nabers and the awful injury for Tyreek Hill
last
night.
That's the reality, yeah.
Eagles twice. By then, maybe they're going to actually be throwing the ball to their wide receivers and not averaging 111 passing yards per game. And then the Cowboys again. But you don't have stinker quarterbacks. You don't have bad offenses, really, on this schedule other than a couple, maybe three times max the rest of the way. I think they're better defensively than they played in Atlanta, and I think that will be kind of as ugly as it gets in terms of doing nothing right, only two quarterback hits, zero pressure, never covering anybody. Look like the team you're playing was thrown against air. But this is not a defense that's going to have answers with personnel walking through the door. Anything you're doing different personnel-wise, you're signing guys like Preston Smith off the scrap heap. Two games later, has not cracked the rotation yet. And Darnell Savage, who played this week in his first week, a few days after being signed, he was on the wrong end of the touchdown to Kyle Pitts. Not to say he's not going to be a good player, but that's what happens. You sign a guy, he's learning things, he's thrust into action for 10 snaps, and you're giving up a touchdown. So it's hard to do on the fly. It's hard to get right. They just don't have enough really good players on defense. And that is rearing its head.
Without a doubt. I mean, again, they got away with it last year. And saying we're going to get away with it again, or we hope to, is not a good plan. Like, for those of you that are sort of like, yeah, Jaden Daniels will fix it, he could fix some. I mean, you saw it last year. They couldn't run the ball the second half of the season, minus that Tennessee game, which came out of nowhere, where Brian Robinson ran for a billion and everything was good.
And that Tennessee team was so good defensively and such a good team stopping the run, and then they ran all over them.
Which, again, I'll never be able to explain. But Jaden Daniels was the run game. He was the offensive coordinator, the time of possession maven, protecting the defense, and asking him to do that is hard to live that way. You got away with it for a stretch. But this year, they have been really good against the run, and the only times they have stopped passing attacks is when they've gotten home. They don't have, as Kevin said correctly on the Beltway Blitz, an elite five-star pass rusher who you can count on either to make the play himself or to draw the attention so someone else can. It's going to be hit or miss at times for rushing the passer. I don't think they'll have a consistent group, which means there's going to be times where that football is in the air, and when it is, they cannot stop it.
So comparing the defense this year to last year, statistically, at this point, not over the course of the full year, but four games in last year versus the first four this year, yards per attempt, 8.1 allowed this year versus 7.5 last year as a passing defense. A half yard worse. That is staggering. They are way better against the run this year than last year. It's not even close. But they are much worse against the pass right now. Both years, they could not generate any takeaways. Two, a quarter way through the season last year. One this year. Sacks are about identical, but their actual pressure rate is much better this year, to their credit. What I've noticed, though, and this is something Logan Paulson and I talked about on a brand new Take Command that dropped today with a detailed film dive that he did on the Falcons game. They've been way more conservative as a blitzing defensive staff since the Green Bay game the last 2 weeks. I don't know if they went into the Raiders game and said, we'll get pressure with four, and they did, so they just said, all right, that was a win. Mm-hmm. And then they thought the same thing against Atlanta, and they didn't adjust. But if you look at how frequently they're getting aggressive and betting on getting home versus blitzing, like, it's all changed the last couple of weeks. And they need to go back to the well of dialing things up and helping their front out that was working in the first couple of games of the season. They've been way too conservative, I think. Explosive plays last year, that I think that's listed as like maybe 10-plusers. They had 34 through this point. This year, it's 32. It's identical almost. They're much better in the red zone, and they're on the field a lot more this year because last year the offense just never punted. Remember, I think through three games they hadn't punted once. They were fifth in the league last year in time of possession. This year, they're 28th.
Wow.
So
I didn't realize it was that start. It was that bad.
I think that's why I actually think the defense is probably a lot better than last year, or maybe a good bit better than last year. But they're on the field so much more that you just get exposed more often. So that's something they can and hopefully will try to fix in a complimentary way. But let's get to the phones on this next. We want to take your temperature. The question is about Washington's defense, which has been a problem. The reason why now they've lost twice and they're 2-2. Certainly at least one of their losses is almost solely on the defense. Do you think that they can get to a point on that side of the ball where it's not a detriment? Can they get where they want to go with this defense or not? We're Grant and Danny.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're taking a good look at the Commanders' defense. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt joins the show in about 15 minutes. We will pay the bill at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan with JCM. Is this defense going to hold them back, or can it get to a point where they can still accomplish all their goals, even if it is majorly flawed? Kenneth's in Manassas on the listener lines. What's up, Kenneth? How are you?
I really enjoy listening to you guys. I want to point out something I was listening to. There was at least, and this goes back to last year, there was at least three plays where I was looking at the defensive play that was called where there was trips left by Atlanta, and we only had two defenders over there, and you can clearly tell where Atlanta was going with the ball and was going to go for a first down. I think the defense can get where it needs to be, but I don't think there's enough weight being put on the conversation around the scheme Joe Witt is calling. And my mind goes back to when we had Greg Blosch as a defensive coordinator. We had no barn burners. We didn't have a whole bunch of talent. It was a very vanilla defense. They kept everything in front of them. But I think the worst we finished under Greg Blosch sometimes was maybe 13th. He had a couple of top 10 finishes with not that much talent.
They tackled so well too, Kenneth. Which is,
they did.
Your point, you earned every blade of grass. I appreciate you. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your momentum there. But no, I was just observing. I mean, that was the big thing, too, that really hasn't been talked about. Maybe it has in other places, but on our show, we've kind of brushed past. Everyone's talked about the scheme and the lack of pass rush and the coverage. They had a terrible tackling game.
I thought so.
Almost 15 missed tackles as a team in that game against the Falcons.
Yeah, so most of the big runs, most of the big bursts kind of came via that, honestly. You know, again, they're in position to do a good job, and they didn't tackle. And that's something Dan Quinn addressed, certainly. But to me, I'm more, you know, those are things that obviously need to improve, and I think can. I don't know where the improvement's going to come from with guys running wide open.
Chris and Brandywine, do you think this defense does them in, or do you think they can still get where they want to go in spite of it?
I mean, for me, guys, thanks for taking my call, by the way. I really feel like it's on this defensive coordinator. I mean, he is letting guys like Lattimore, and like Lattimore was an all-pro in New Orleans. I know he's gone through injuries, but you're like leaving him on an island out here. You're not giving him support after he's been getting burned for almost, like, we're going in a year and a half now. Like, you should be giving him a lot more support. Then you're talking about Bobby Wagner. You got him going on wheel routes. And we talked about McGee since he's been drafted as an heir apparent, but he can't get any playing time. And Bobby Wagner is on the field 100% of the time. That does make it make sense. Like, we should be doing a lot more. Go ahead.
That's a good phone call. Thank you, buddy. The 100% of snaps for Wagner is such a good observation. And it's something that now has come up in a presser with Standing of the longtime athletic writer who's now doing the Substack. But Ben brought this up with Dan Quinn point blank, and he's like, should he play on every snap? Mid-30s, you know, sideline to sideline is not what it is when he's downhill or in a box. I think that's totally fair. Now, the question with McGee is always, is he healthy? Is he ready to play? Is he available that week? But, yeah, I mean, we've heard so much about him. You drafted him in the mid-rounds. He was kind of the heir apparent. If he can run, if Kane Medrano can run, like, figure out a way to put guys out there on obvious passing downs when you're defending in space and zone or whatever, when you might have to pick up occasionally a running back out of the backfield, you got to put people out there that can turn and burn.
Totally. Oh, well, but the flip side is, though, that to me is scheme, because Wagner offers something else. Like, we're just a week removed where we had two sacks, a couple quarterback hits, knocking people around as a great blitzer.
He might be the best blitzer from the A-gap in the league still.
He's really, really good in that regard. So if you take him off the field, then he's definitely not doing that on a given play. So,
But you know when you call the play if he's blitzing or not.
Well, sure. But you need the possibility that he might or he might not. He drops off. You can't just have a giveaway and a tell. My point is he offers something. Right, he's going to have 11 tackles. He's going to be great in the run game. He's going to be good at some other things. I just need to find a scheme where I avoid him doing that. Does that make sense? Where, like, it's a mismatch for any linebacker in this league to be having to go through traffic to try to catch up to Bijan Robinson.
Sure, but what is the point of a 35-year-old who struggles to run a little bit playing 100% of snaps? Like, other than just the idea of, like, the attendance award, so to speak, it doesn't really make sense. You know, you rotate these guys and keep them fresh at so many positions on the D-line, it would be outrageous to see a guy play 70, 75% of the time. There's just no real added benefit for me to Bobby Wagner being out there on every single play when he's got strengths that are exceptional, really, really strong, excellent things that he does, and some pretty significant flaws that we've seen dating back to his time in Seattle, you know, at the end, or certainly... you know, in L.A. for that year. Let's go to Reggie in the district on the fan. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, what's going on, fellas, man? Absolutely love your show.
Appreciate you.
I love y'all show. Hey, Grant, you mentioned something, man, that I think it got glossed over. We were fifth in time of possession last year. My defense is not going to get better. Nobody's walking through that door. Get my quarterback on the field, right? Instead of us going three and out, I watched that first play with Marcus Mariota under center. I knew that our end around was coming with Debo. That's the only time we're under center. So I'm thinking, like, okay, get my quarterback out there, right? Instead of us being down 17-7, maybe we're up 17-7, making teams one-dimensional, so then it makes defense a lot easier. Maybe we're controlling the time of possession. Tress Way is not on the field punting as much, you know, this year like he did, like he wasn't last year. So I'm not really focusing as – can the defense, to answer the question, yes, but my offense is the reason why the defense can get there is because the offense is now picking up that slack because our quarterback is taking the leap and the steps that we all kind of feel like he can, minus you know, him being injured, that we ultimately are going to see. But it's the offense that's got to carry the water and get ahead, get a lead. So now the defense can dictate to the opposing offense, you know, instead of vice versa.
Amen. I agree with every word of that. I think
that's the plan.
Really smart.
That was their idea.
You go back to the old Scott Turner thing, you know, the 14-play drive.
Yeah.
And it was ugly back then. It's not as ugly now. You got playmakers. But, yeah, if you hold the football, this is on Cliff a little bit, to maybe run the ball more if they need to or whatever. But I hate the term complimentary football. I honestly kind of do. But I think there is an element of this where the best way to help fix this defense is through the offense, just having them be on the field for fewer snaps. Now, time of possession can be a defensive stat, too. They could not get off the field against the Falcons. You got to end your own drive sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hit the quarterback on a third down and force an incomplete. You got to make a play so that you can get a stop and force a punt. And they couldn't do that either. But there is this symbiotic relationship where last year we saw what it looked like. Yeah, the defense, when they were on the field, at times were really bad. They just didn't have to be on the field that much. There were plenty of games where they were on the field for like 22 to 24 minutes into the middle of the fourth quarter because the offense had just dominated TOP. David in D.C., what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Can you guys hear me?
Got you.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. I'm sorry, that last caller just stole my thunder, but it's all about time of possession. You mentioned being in the top five last year versus bottom 32 or bottom 28 this year. It's all about time of possession. So this goes back on Cliff Kingsbury. Rush attempts. The last caller stole my thunder, but it's all about possession of time, TOP, like you guys said. Get your bad defense off the field. The defense isn't getting any better. Wagner's not getting any faster. Lattimore's not getting any better. Limit their time on the field. Thanks for my call.
Appreciate you, dude. I always felt like that applies more when you can't stop the run and you're gassed for the time of possession stuff. I mean, to me, when you're at second and 17, you supposedly have won. But they gave up huge gains.
Well, it depends what happens on second and 17.
Right.
I mean, if you're in third and nine, you've won for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. 4-3 yard gain. You know, like to me, this isn't the defense is tired. That's why they're messing up. This is a, no matter when they're on the field, like I don't care if they're tired or otherwise, they can't stop the ball through the air. So you could hold it for 35 minutes. You know,
I could be mistaken. I don't think they're suggesting the defense is tired. Although that, you know, could be. Makes them worse.
But my point about time of possession, I didn't realize it was
my
that stark year over year.
You can't stink when you're not on the field. And if their offense, it doesn't have to be fifth, but if they were eighth or tenth in time of possession, and instead of being on the field for 67 snaps or whatever, it's 54 snaps or 59 snaps, you know, just eight plays at 8 yards per play, that's 64 yards you don't have to worry about right there. So the path to me is leaning into their strength. That's all I'm saying. Not a fatigue.
No, thing. I understand. And listen, I'd rather their offense be really good and hold the ball and score more points. I'm not arguing against that. I guess what I'm saying is I always feel like when you hear the time of possession discussion as the way to help the defense most, it's these guys are gassed and they can't stop the run anymore. They're just getting pushed around because they've been on the field too long.
Also be that your defense stinks and you want them standing on the sideline.
Right. Yeah. I do. Like to me, anytime the other team has the ball, they can throw it. And I think that's time of possession or otherwise.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, part of this offense that Washington is going to see operated, it looks like, by Jaden Daniels for the first time in 3 weeks this weekend. We'll ask him about getting JD5 back. Also want to get some thoughts from him on what was another tremendous performance in very limited work. And he is a blast to watch. Krosky Merritt, live on Grant and Danny next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.